Okay, so we are going to finish this week up with one of the very best stories in the Bible, the story of Bezalel and Aholiab. So we are in chapter 31. Chapter 31 of Exodus. It is exciting, isn't it? I'm just breathing it in, the good theology. Do you smell Bible this morning? So as we are looking at this text, as we're studying it with these morning Bible studies, I really hope that you appreciate these, and I hope that they're meaningful to you. We're looking at chapter 31, verses 1 through 11, and because it's such a short passage, I'm just going to read this out to us, and then we're gonna go through, and we're actually going to use our five W's here because we're kind of getting back to a narrative. We're not in law like we were before. We're in a different genre of literature. So we're going to look at this, since this is narrative, we're going to look at it with the five W's, because the five W's is how we move through narrative. There are other good ways to work through other different kinds of scripture, other genres. But for narrative, I want to stick to the five W's. Anyways, so chapter 31, verses 1 through 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in skill, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for gold work, silver work, and with bronze work, and for cutting and setting stone, and with cutting wood, and to work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have also given him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given ability to all the skilled, that they may make everything, all the specially skilled, so that they may make everything that I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the atonement lid that is on it, all the furnishings of the tent, the table with its utensils, the pure lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of the burnt offering with its utensils, the large basin with its base, the woven garments, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister as priests, the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place. They will make all these things just as I have commanded you." Okay, so we are looking here at chapter 31, and what do we see? We see the Lord spoke to Moses, and he says, "I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and skill," etc., etc., etc. So just knowing where we are, so the who in the story, who is here? Well, the Lord is here, Moses is being spoken to, and then we're talking about Bezalel, the son of Huri, and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, and then some other people are mentioned. So that's who is in the story. Where is this happening? This is happening in the Sinai. When is this happening? This is happening after the Lord has given the law and around the time that God has given the instructions for the tabernacle, and then the people are going to start building the tabernacle. Okay, so we've got who, where, and when. Now, what is happening? What is happening? Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because this is where the text forces us to ask some really important questions. Because if we just look at what's going on, just a simple reading of the text, it's not difficult to understand. But then we have to do some theologizing. We have to kind of try to understand, because the text naturally causes us to ask some follow-up questions, okay? So the Lord says, he tells Moses, he commands Moses what he wants Moses to build. And then he said, "I want you to choose this dude, Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I want him to be the master craftsman. I want him to be the master craftsman of this job. He is in charge. He is the contractor. He is the job site supervisor. He is the it of this job. It's not Moses. It's not Aaron. It's nobody. The guy who God has chosen is this guy Bezalel. He is in charge of this project. And why Bezalel? Or at least, what do we know about Bezalel? Well, God says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in skill, in understanding, in knowledge, in all kinds of craftsmanship." And then, so what do we have? He says, so if we wanted to chart this, okay, this is kind of fun, and this is maybe a skill that's worth gaining, and it's the skill of taxonomy. So if you have a piece of paper, why don't you go ahead and take a piece of paper, right? And on this piece of paper, at the top left-hand corner of your piece of paper, write Bezalel, okay? So B-E-Z-A-L-E-L, Bezalel, okay. Now, Bezalel was filled by God, filled with the Spirit of God, okay? So draw a line that says underneath, or just write Bezalel filled with the Spirit of God in He's filled with the Spirit of God in what? In skill. So here's where it gets interesting. So underneath of your Bezalel, filled with the Spirit of God in, so you can write in colon, and then A, so you write A, and then ending parentheses, in skill. And then B, other side parentheses, understanding. Okay. We have C, end parentheses, for knowledge. Okay. And then in D, we have in craftsmanship. And then, underneath of craftsmanship, what kinds of craftsmanship? Well, he can work with, and then we could write maybe I, double I, triple I, and we could say gold, silver, bronze, so I gold, double I, silver, triple I, bronze, okay? Or we could make this subsection 1 with gold, silver, and bronze. So we could do something like under section D, we could write a big capital letter I, and then we could call this metalwork or metallurgy, if you want to call it metallurgy, if you want to use the fancy word. And then we would have I, and I. So I would be gold, I would be silver, triple I would be bronze. And then we have with cutting and setting stone. With cutting wood and with work and all kinds of craftsmanship. Okay, so we could do metallurgy, and then we could do subsection 2, and instead of metallurgy, maybe we could call it cutting skills. Okay, so cutting skills, and then we would have section. We have subsection double I, capital Roman I's like 2, and then subsection I of section 2 would be stones, cutting and setting stones. So stones would be lowercase I with a parentheses, and then under that you would have maybe numeral 1, Arabic numeral 1, which is cutting them, and then Roman numeral 2 would be setting them, and then we would have lowercase letter II parentheses, and lowercase letter II parentheses would be wood, and then we would have lowercase letter III, and then triple I parentheses, and then we would just have ETC for et cetera. Okay, so what we would have is, if you look at Bezalel, right, this is his skill set. Okay, now I wrote this down in front of me. So you have Bezalel is filled with the Spirit in A, skill, B, understanding, C, knowledge, D, craftsmanship. Now, what does that mean to be a craftsman? Well, capital letter I is metallurgy. Now, what is metallurgy? It's one, lowercase I, one, in gold, two, silver, three, bronze. Also, he's skilled in capital double I in cutting things. What is he skilled in? He's skilled with cutting stones. That's lowercase I, stones. And then Roman numeral 1, cutting them. Roman numeral 2, setting them. And also in lowercase double I in wood. And then lowercase triple I, parentheses, other things that he's skilled in. Okay. Now, why did I walk us through this little chart of Bezalel's skill set? Because this is an important skill if you want to really get good at understanding sentences in the Bible, like these complicated sentences. What God is saying is that Bezalel has been given, he's been given skill in understanding, knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. And he can make these things, okay? He can make all of these things. Now the question is the knowledge with gold, silver, and stones and wood and stuff, is that a subset of craftsmanship, or is that a subset of skill and knowledge and understanding? Well, I tend to think that it's a subset of craftsmanship. So you can be a person who's skilled in things, but not necessarily be skilled in these forms of craftsmanship, right? Okay, so what we have is we have a guy who has skill, he has understanding, he has knowledge, and he has all kinds of craftsmanship. The Spirit of God has filled him in skill, in understanding and knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. Now, we could break this down a couple different ways. We could do a couple different sentence diagrams of this if you wanted. Maybe you don't like the way that I did it. But my point is to show that he has a lot of qualities. And he has a lot of qualities over a very wide range of things. All of these things, generally in the ancient world, being a goldsmith, especially if we see like the modern, or you know, the world where today, where, you know, a lot of people in the ancient world were goldsmiths. They were that was what they did. They were goldsmiths, or they were silversmiths, or they were stone cutters. Like, so they were jewelers, right? So this guy he's not just skilled in gold or silver or bronze. And these are very different metals. Gold, silver, and bronze are very different metals that have a very different working. You don't cast bronze the way that you cast gold or silver. Like, the way that you refine silver and refine gold and refine bronze, that they require different temperatures. These all require their different skill sets. And the way that you work with gold is going to be different than the way you work with bronze, because gold is a very, very soft metal, and you're going to need to alloy it. Bronze also needs alloys, but silver does not need to be it does not need to be alloyed. Right? Silver degrades. Silver does corrode. But normally you don't see silver alloys. Bronze is a pure alloy. Gold and silver are both elements. Bronze is an alloy. Okay, it's a mixture of copper and tin and other various metals. Or brass is copper and tin. I always forget that. But bronze is an alloy. Gold and silver are pure metals. They're their own elemental metals. Each one of these requires a lot of knowledge. Like, you really need to know what you're doing to be a jeweler. Because not only is he skilled, not only does he have understanding and knowledge of how to work with gold, so not only does he understand them, not only does he have knowledge about them, not only does he have understanding of the metal itself, but he has skill to work with it. He's a jeweler. He's a jeweler of gold. He's a jeweler of silver. He's a jeweler with bronze. But bronze jewelry is not only hammered out, like in the ancient world. You didn't just hammer it, but you also cast it, and you used it for big things. So he didn't just have the ability to do detailed work on a small scale. He could also do detailed work on a big scale. He could cast these bells, which is essentially what he was. He was casting bells and casting all these things on a huge scale. So he had to understand how to do these, right? Like, Bezalel is a man of incredible skills, but not only is he good with metalwork, he's also skilled with stone. He's a jeweler. He can work with gemstones, which is a completely different skill set. Oh, guess what? He's also cutting wood. It doesn't just mean cutting wood, like he can take a saw and he can cut it. He could carve things. Bezalel was an immensely skilled man. An immensely skilled man. And he's also good in all of those other things. He's also good at all other kinds of craftsmanship. And then we have other people who were skilled at dealing with the woven garments, with the linens, and with the textile stuff. So Bezalel is skilled in the most difficult areas of craftsmanship, and he's also great at all the other areas of craftsmanship. The question arises, where did he get this skill? Now there are some who want to say, well, God just filled him with these things. No, he didn't just magically wake up and have these abilities. He learned these things. Bezalel learned these things in Egypt. Bezalel learned how to work with gold and with silver and with bronze and with gemstones and with wood carving and with all these and working with textiles. He learned all this when he was in Egypt. He had to be the outstanding craftsman of Egypt. He was the outstanding craftsman of Egypt. He's learned all of these different trades, all of these distinct trades. He is a polymath when it comes to working in the tabernacle, right? But God spent his entire life, his whole life, Bezalel was gaining skill to work in these things. You don't learn these skills overnight. Some people work their whole lives to be good at just one of them. Bezalel was skilled in all of them. What's the point? Why is this significant? The reason this is significant, friends, is because God's gifting to us is often our skill set. There's this whole school of thought that says that, you know, you have your skills and then you have things that God gives you. That's your spiritual gift, and your spiritual gift has nothing to do with your skills. Those are different things. Friends, that's dumb. That's dumb. Your spiritual gift is whatever God has enabled you to do for the church. Your skills and your spiritual gifts have a tremendous amount of overlap. God filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God so that he could gain these skills when he lived in Egypt, so that he could learn from some of the greatest metalsmiths and some of the greatest woodcarvers and some of the greatest textile farmers and textile workers in the world. Because remember, Egypt is the land of cotton, right? Like, that was the land of cotton. It wasn't Dixie. You know, it was Egypt. Bezalel learned all of these skills when he was in Egypt. God spent Bezalel's entire life preparing him for this. Does it make it less valuable? Does it make it less of the Spirit of God filling him with wisdom that he learned these skills from Egyptian craftsmen? No. It doesn't make it any less valuable. In fact, what it means is, friends, it means that God is using you. Stop reading books about what your spiritual gift is. What are you talented in? What are you talented in? Are you good with numbers? Then serve God with your ability to use numbers. If you're an accountant, serve God by your accounting skills. If you're a craftsman, serve God with your carpentry skills or your concrete skills or your plumbing skills or your electrical skills or your roofing skills. Are you good at prayer? Serve God with your prayer. Serve God with your words. If you're a great mother, serve God by raising children and maybe by helping take care and raise other people's children. If you're a teacher, teach. Whatever your skills are, God has filled you with the Spirit of God to do those things. Your skills and your spiritual gifts overlap because your spiritual gift is whatever you do to serve the church. Stop looking for a magical spiritual gift. Whatever you do to serve the church, that's your spiritual gift. If you're a teacher, teach. That's your spiritual gift. If you're a carpenter, carpenter. That's your spiritual gift. If you're a preacher, shut up because you're going too long and because your name is Luke, right? Like, that's your spiritual gift, is to preach. Use the skills that God has given you. You didn't gain any of these skills by your own. You didn't gain these skills by your own. God was with you to help you to gain these skills and abilities. Why? Because God wants a body full of diverse skills and abilities so that any need that arises can be cared for within the church. God needs accountants. God needs lawyers. God needs scholars. God needs teachers. God needs policemen. God needs soldiers. God needs governors. God needs linguists. God needs musicians. God needs all of these skills. Whatever you're skilled with, use it to serve the church. That's your spiritual gift. It doesn't matter where you learned it. It doesn't matter if you learned it in church. It doesn't matter if you learned it in Egypt. If you've learned and gained and acquired a skill, it is a gift from God. Use it to serve the church because your spiritual gift is whatever you do to serve the church. Stop trying to do a spiritual gift analysis. Whatever you're good at, use it to serve the church. That's your spiritual gift. Anyways, I could talk about Bezalel and Aholiab because there are a ton of other questions that I have, a ton of other questions about the building of the tabernacle that I think would be really fun. So if you want to talk about them, you know, go ahead and give me a call. Stop by the office after coronavirus is over, and we can talk all day about Bezalel and Aholiab. It's an awesome subject. There's so much great stuff about the tabernacle. But anyways, I cannot keep my promise to keep things under 15 minutes, so I ask you to forgive me. But I hope these are as fun for you as they are for me. Anyways, thank you. God bless.